Well, there's some things, are there some things you just want to tell, or should I ask questions?
I guess I could start off by introducing myself and kind of giving you a little backdrop of who I am and where I'm from and where we're at today.
I have an editor, so he takes out stuff that's superfluous, so just...
Good.
So if you drop the F-bomb for some reason, it'll be...
It'll be removed.
Maybe.
Depends on the ratings.
Yeah.
So, I'm Eric McSwain. Mm-hmm. I'm a local, native to Fayette and really Howard County, I suppose, lifelong, but Fayette since about the seventh grade, graduated. Huh. Here in Fayette, and I've gotten to know people. Sonia's husband, Justin, was a high school friend of mine. Sonia, in fact, she can introduce herself, but she's going to be helping us out with the cannabis business that we've proposed. I do work at the University of Missouri for now as a manager of IT, so I've gotten some business background there, running a department, you know, teams. Systems and services, those sorts of things. And, you know, like a lot of people, I think, in the industry, I got my interest really piqued in this because of the family that I've seen over the years who could have made use of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was exposed to it at a fairly young age with family members who weren't necessarily using it medicinally. And I always wondered, because they said, oh, this is medicine, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I wondered, is this really medicine? And as I went off to college, I, you know, wrote some papers on it, did some research on it. It was about then and or shortly thereafter in 96 when California became the first state to introduce medicinal marijuana.
So your college days were when?
Mid-90s.
Mid-90s,
okay. Yeah, about 94, 96,
yeah.
Before I went off to the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. And it was then that even, you know, the early data that was coming out was suggesting that, yeah, this is probably a legit medicine, right? And then you dig a little deeper and you find out that, you know, well, as of 2013 anyway, 9,600 of 10,000 papers from institutions in the United States had a predisposition to trying to prove that marijuana was bad, right? Mm-hmm. So they were all, if that's what you're looking for, that's what you're gonna find. But the funny part is they weren't really finding it either.
Were these peer-reviewed articles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these were, I mean, at the time, that's all that was being funded was the federal government, you know, funding institutions to, hey, find me something bad that we can crow about.
Sonia, could you introduce yourself, your last name, and
absolutely.
What you do?
I'm Sonia Addison. I am a medical doctor. I practice diabetes endocrinology and metabolism at Boone Hospital through Boone Medical Group.
Okay. And did the interest in cannabis bring you two together, or have you known each other for quite a while? Or
actually, I was introduced to Eric through my husband, Justin. Okay. We were married in 2000, and he was our best man.
Gotcha.
So I've known him for quite a long time, mm-hmm. but actually I had interest in medical marijuana even in high school. The first research paper I ever wrote in high school, so in the mid-90s, mm-hmm. Was actually about medical cannabis.
Interesting.
So that's how I learned how to write a research paper.
Yeah.
All right. Huh. Yeah, and so over the years, you know, I've had family with cancer, I've had family with diabetes, I've had family with neuropathies and rheumatoid arthritis and PTSD and all of these ailments that could have and sometimes were treated illegally but could have been treated legitimately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at one point, I guess maybe it was 5 or 6 years ago, I said, well, eventually it's coming to Missouri. And you know what? When it does, I've decided that I'm going to get involved and I'm going to try to make this happen. You know, so part of what motivates me now is that, a big part of it. I'll go ahead and tell you that I'm going to get my card. I've got my physician certification. We can talk about that process too if you like, but so that I know it helps me with my condition. Mm-hmm. I've been to Colorado. It's not hard to figure out. So now let's bring it to the rest of Missouri, and not just bring it to the patients who need it, but do so responsibly, right? Because it can be done in ways that is not responsible. You don't want to see people selling it out the back door. You don't want to see people encouraging, you know, diversion to the criminal market. You don't want to, you know, just watch patients come in clearly showing signs of abuse and let that go on. You know, it has to be a responsible situation.
What got the ball rolling for three propositions on the ballot?
Well, a little conjecture on my part, I suppose, then. We'd been trying for several years prior to that, but it had just been falling short. Illinois recently is the first state ever to have a marijuana initiative, not initiative, but marijuana legislation passed by their legislators.
I just signed this week, I believe.
Everybody else, all medical issues, marijuana issues, all recreational marijuana issues have all been voter initiatives. Right, so they've been grassroots, come up by the voters. So I think that's a bellwether in itself. But anyway, so that's where I was in Missouri as well. And then finally, as things they barely missed in 2017, getting it on the ballot. Okay. And so at that point, a lot of people really turned to and said, hey, this is close. And that's when they came up with the three different propositions, and or rather the two amendments and the one proposition. Specific.
But I don't know where this came from, but I read somewhere that 96% of Americans are in favor of medical marijuana. That's more people than believe in God.
You know? That's a fact, too. That's a fact. I wrote a short article on it, and it does seem that medicinal marijuana in particular is a foregone conclusion in terms of being legitimate to everybody except for Congress. Plain and simple. Now the good news is, and that's statistically proven, 96% of people do believe that medicinal marijuana is a good thing. Only about 60 are in favor of recreational.
Yeah, so I think it's, I read 65.
It's lagging behind, and I understand why. There's certainly more negative public health potential and that sort of thing on the recreational side, just as there is with, you know, booze and cigarettes, though I hate to compare them. But the good news is that generally federal legislation follows public opinion by about 5 years. Yeah. So that was 2 years ago when that statistic came out, that poll came out, I bet in three more. Quote me on it. They'll be making changes to the scheduling in terms of the DEA Schedule 1 classification that marijuana currently has.
Yeah, right now it's right up there with heroin.
Yeah, I bet it'll drop to about a Schedule 3, and that'll allow the clinical trials and other medical research that we so badly need.
I see.
And I want to emphasize that comparing them to booze and or alcohol and cigarettes, tobacco products, is not a good comparison because those products really don't have a clinical use.
Right.
There is no benefit medically from those products that we know of right now anyway.
Yeah.
So
I know there are many clinical studies, but what, and you all can't go out on a limb and say this is the cure for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but what things do you feel are helped by use of cannabis?
So if we're looking for a list of diagnoses, that list is long. We do have clinical trials showing that the benefit of cannabis in seizure disorders, multiple sclerosis, neuropathies, some psychiatric conditions such as post-traumatic stress. There are many more that studies that need to be done, double-blinded, peer-reviewed clinical trials and literature. Anecdotally, I've seen benefit in many patients who travel or use illegally. And honestly, I have a condition that would greatly benefit from medical cannabis. But as a physician holding a federal DEA license, even though it's legal in Missouri, I won't be able to obtain a card or use the product, use the medication, because it is not legal federally yet. And overall, that would be one of my biggest goals, would be to have it federally legalized.
Yeah, back in 2016, I think it was, there was a study, a couple of studies that came out where they really took a look, not just at the research coming out of the U.S., but Israel, Italy, Spain. That's where the real work's being done with cannabis. And what they found is that there is conclusive evidence chronic pain, seizure disorders, and nausea can all be treated fairly consistently with cannabis.
I thought I'd heard that there was also some evidence for some sleep disorders as well.
Yeah, and so the rest of the qualifying conditions that Missouri has, there's some evidence for.
Okay, so we're talking strong, convincing evidence rather than
three,
just evidence. Okay.
Right, yeah, the three big ones, the three strongest ones in terms of evidence are those, which turn out to be the, you know,
the majority anyway.
Yeah, I forget the stat, but it's in the 70 percentile of the number of patients have one of those three conditions.
Well, that's interesting. I did read that, and I didn't understand this, it can be helpful with social anxiety. What's that? I've never suffered from it, so I don't know.
Social anxiety is an extremely debilitating psychiatric disorder, and can be so severe, in fact, that people will not leave their homes.
Interesting.
Agoraphobia is a term that can be used for that.
Okay.
Social anxiety can actually range from severe anxiety from where a patient won't leave their home, even to seek medical care or food.
Interesting.
To simply... Social anxiety can include fear of public speaking. So it's a vast array of diagnoses. But for the more severe ones, I would agree completely that, you know, allowing someone to leave their home to have a life, I think that would be...
My world is kind of small. I don't see the things you do.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's very interesting.
And a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
People don't believe that there are actually patients out there who cannot leave their homes.
Right.
But it does exist, and it's scary.
Another thing was mentioned was improved appetites for folks on chemotherapy.
Absolutely. Cachexia.
Okay.
And malnutrition. So a lot of medical therapies for cancer absolutely suppress the appetite. They lead to disintegration of muscle mass, of being able to eat. A lot of times inflammation within the GI tract that makes it so painful to eat that you literally will not eat.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. And we've, in Marinol, that's a legally obtainable medication in these situations.
Synthetic
it's helpful.
THC.
It's synthetic THC. Mm-hmm. It does help a lot of people, but can be prohibitive cost-wise, can be not as effective as other forms of THC.
Yeah, and it's been supposed, again, more research is needed, but there's several doctors who agree that, you know, pure THC, whether it be synthetic or not, has a pretty limited therapeutic range because it's easy to overdo. You know, there's a small window, and once you tip over it, now all of a sudden your nausea is worse. Now all of a sudden your anxiety is worse, right? Because not only is euphoria a potential side effect of THC, but dysphoria is what as well, right?
So
it's the
of just,
opposite.
Yes. Yeah, so in euphoria, meaning being elevated in mood, happy, elated, high. Dysphoria is any range in between, and it can go from very elated, high euphoria down to very depressed, sad, crying, and then it can waver. So the dysphoria.
Yeah, so there's definitely, in my mind at least, an advantage to the whole plant. Not only does it feel and sound and, you know, more natural, but there's over 200 cannabinoids and terpenes in cannabis at
there are other natural chemicals that aid in the effectiveness of each other.
Or moderate the side effects, or, you know, there's a whole range of things that are happening. So for the whole plant medicines, there's actually a much wider therapeutic window, and that's why the conventional wisdom is, well, just experiment with it. You're not going to kill yourself. You're going to know when you've had too much, so don't do that again.
Yeah.
Right? So get to the point to where it helps and stop. Mm-hmm. And with the whole plant, that window's much larger, margin of error's much larger. You know, whereas with Marinol, if you overstep, you're sick for days, you know, for example.
And in comparison to other medications that are available for, say, chronic pain, such as narcotics, if you overdo it, it'll suppress your breathing and you could die.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the benzodiazepines, some of the anxiety medicines that can be very addictive as well.
Yeah. So, and it's no wonder Big Pharma's, you know, all against, because I think another study, a I'll have to look it up again, but another study was something like, you know, 50% of the total number of prescriptions or volume in terms of dosage of prescriptions are reduced after patients have started medicinal cannabis. So you can back away a lot of interesting other drugs that you're on.
Now, you mentioned something that was interesting to me, that there's just, it's like so many foods, there's so many variety of things, ingredients, things in there that can be helpful, and we're kind of limited in knowing what all is in marijuana or cannabis that could be helpful. But they talk about CBD, which is cannabidiol, and then THC, which is tetrahydrocannabinol. These are new words to me. I'm probably screwing them up good. But anyway, are you interested in producing and selling the type of cannabis that is high in THC versus the agricultural hemp, which I believe is probably quite high in oils from the seed, which would be the cannabidiol?
Which
direction are you?
So it's a range. It's totally a range. It depends on the ailment. You know, for example, nausea would be best treated with high THC, maybe low doses, but you don't necessarily want a lot of CBD.
In a ratio of CBD to THC.
PTSD, right? Mm-hmm. That's good to be treated with primarily THC, not so much CBD. Pain, combination is better. You know, a one-to-one ratio of THC CBD is best, generally. Muscle spasticity, predominantly THC, but benefits are seen with the CBD as well, because between the two of them, they're muscle relaxant, right? So it really depends on what you're getting after. So for me, it's about presenting the spectrum. So high THC on one end, high CBD on the other, everything in between.
So basically, you'd like to produce a number of products, a number of strains that could treat a multitude of patients.
That's right.
Interesting.
That's right, and give any individual patient multiple options.
Because
sometimes, just like with other medicines, adjusting your medicine slightly could have an increased effect.
Yeah.
And just like any kind of medical treatment, it's really important to treat the patient, not just their disease or their numbers, because every person is going to be different in how they respond to any kind of medical therapy. So having that range of options, I think, would be very beneficial to a business like this.
I guess the thing that I was wondering about, and I think I've got it clear now, is so Mitch McConnell made in the ag bill, let's have hemp growing on farms all over the place. And the CBD would be pretty high in the seed produced on all these farms. But that would not necessarily go into medical treatments.
Actually, CBD on its own can be quite helpful in several different ailments, and that is legal in Missouri and has been for a year and a half now?
Yeah.
Or so?
Right. I don't know if anybody's allowed to raise it yet, but yeah, it's legal.
Right. So, yes, patients or people can purchase CBD oils right now, and there are different formulations of that as well.
I see.
But you have to remember the hemp plant itself has much more use than just the oils and the seeds. I mean, hemp has been used for
fibers
and
feed.
Hemp seed is actually, we were discussing this earlier, is actually a very whole food. And if you look back over human history, it's only been the last 70 or 80 years where humans have not been using hemp in the United States. The rest of human history is rife with it.
Yeah. Is there agricultural hemp being raised in Missouri right now? Hasn't happened yet, has
not,
it?
Not yet. I think there was some pilot programs or some such. The hemp bill is just a little bit behind the Article 14, which is our medicinal cannabis. I expect that next year will be the first growing season for industrial hemp. And just to clarify for you, too, and perhaps for the listeners, the oils, the THC, the CBD, the terpenes that we talk about, all that other good stuff come from what's called a glandular trichome. It's a little shiny speck that's on the flower itself. So when you look at the flower, it actually kind of glitters. you know, it looks like maybe snow in, when it's real dense, and those little bitty glands, that's what has all the essential oils and all the smelly stuff and the THC and the CBD in it. The seeds do not. They don't have any such. If you were to buy hemp seeds off the shelf, there's zero cannabinoids in those.
But it's a great source of fiber, which most people are short on as well.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
So you're after the flower.
Yes.
Okay.
100%. 100%. Gotcha. Pretty much everything else, we won't let them pollinate unless we're going to breed seed, which needs to be done as well. But for the medicine itself, you don't let them you don't let them seed out. And it's same for the hemp. For the for the hemp that folks are going to produce for CBD, you don't let them seed, you don't let them flower. Gotcha. In fact, you only grow females. Okay. It's a dioecious plant. There's males and females. You'll get feminized seed and plant only the feminized seed.
Just catching on the local news at night, they've been kind of talking about how it'll be available only by getting a doctor's prescription. Any doctor, or will it be just a few doctors that can diagnose? And
to be more precise, a doctor cannot write a prescription for cannabis.
Okay.
Cannabis is still illegal federally, and because doctors hold federal DEA licenses, we cannot prescribe it per se here in Missouri. So the way the bill was set up is that as a physician, you can provide a recommendation and a certification to go purchase medical marijuana.
Interesting.
So where a physician is not writing on a script pad, they're not writing a prescription to go buy this strain of cannabis and take this much per day.
Right.
It's a recommendation to treat a situation. Now, each hospital system, each private physician, each federal institution such as the VA hospital will have to decide individually what their tactic is going to be, what their allowance is going to be. Some large hospital systems are not going to let their physicians write quote-unquote prescriptions, but they don't mention much about writing a recommendation. We can write in our documentation that a patient would benefit from medical cannabis because they have X, Y, and Z diagnosis that would benefit. And if that system's not going to let them write that official certificate, then at least it's documented, so maybe their other physician could write it. So it's going to be very individual in the state of Missouri until it more catches on, until there's more, you know, peer-reviewed literature to support it.
And it'll help, too, whenever, you know, official diagnostic protocols have been set up for
absolutely
that
and
sort of thing. Because it's kind of,
it's kind of new.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think once, we're looking at other states right now who have had legal medical cannabis as well as recreational use, and we're not seeing some of the things that these folks were scared about. They're not coming to fruition. So I think in the state of Missouri, once it's proven itself a little bit, I think that those regulations per individual entity, they're going to lighten up. And I think physicians will be more free to write if their institution is currently saying they can't. So I think there's a little, they're a little bit timid because it's kind of new.
Yeah. But according to law, all you have to do is be a currently registered Missouri physician.
Have a current Missouri medical license.
And that's it.
And then you write a recommendation.
And then you can certify a patient. Really what they're doing is certifying that a patient has a qualifying condition. Right? And so now the good news is for Missourians is that unlike a lot of other states, there's no requirement for a patient to have an existing relationship with a physician. So in other states, you may have to have a documented relationship where you've been going to that physician for 6 months or more. For example,
long-term relationship.
Well, in Missouri, you don't have to have that, which is brilliant for our veterans. By the way, I am one.
Please explain that situation.
I can't go to the VA and get a certification because it's against VA policy. It's a federal program. It's against policy. They won't do it.
Because
they can talk about it with you, but they're not going to recommend
it. And they can even write in their notes, in their documentation from your visit, that this patient would benefit, but they can't. They can't write the certification because it's not legal federally. It's a state law.
Yep. And so if you follow some of the news outlets, then There's been some recent articles about, what do they call them, boutique medical clinics or whatever the case may be.
These are walk-in clinics.
These are folks that are popping up,
sure,
especially for medical cannabis, right?
Patients who are seeking certification.
That's what they do, and that's where I had to go, ultimately, because my
VA doctor,
couldn't do it, even if she wanted to. Right. Another doctor couldn't do it because his, you know, specialist I see couldn't do it because his organization had made it against policy as well, you know. So I eventually went to a specialty clinic and showed them my existing diagnoses from my other doctor. They verified it and said, you know what, you're good to go. Mm-hmm. They don't have a problem with it. They just can't do it. And here's your certification.
I got the impression, you know, we voted on medical marijuana in Missouri. And I'm not sure what all the language was in
the entire bill.
Right. But I kind of got the impression that the legislature just kind of said, oh my God, let's dump this on the Department of Health and Senior Services, and that they will be figuring all this out. Have you dealt with them? Is that what the situation is? How's that going?
For the most part, it was left up to the state to figure out who did it, who'd take care of it. They do a lot of the public health issues and prescription medications and that sort of thing. Department of Health and Senior Services is run by physicians. There's a medical doctor who's the director of that department. So I think it made sense where they put it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way that the amendment, now Article 14 of the Missouri State Constitution, was written, though, it had some very hard timelines written into it.
Okay.
Right? Because in other states, we've learned in the past that, well, yeah, I know, it's part of the Constitution, but we can just push this thing out, and kick the can, and push, because there's no reason not to. Well, now the Constitution says, by this date, you will do these things. And so that's why it seems like the state's just breaking loose and getting after it, because they have to.
Yeah.
For example, tomorrow will be the first day a patient can log in and apply for their medical card. That wasn't supposed to happen until July 4th. So the state's a little bit ahead. Kudos to them.
I have several patients who are very excited about that, by the way.
Yay, Friday.
That has been very helpful. I think I'd like to kind of move into just what you have planned to do here in Fayette.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh. Bathrooms are right down there.
Let's edit that out.
Yeah. Around the corner and,
yeah, and you
just
guys
keep going.
Into the hall.
Right.
This way, right here, that door. Yep.
So you're interested in working in the Golden Industrial Building here in Fayette.
Yep.
A building because of security? What's...
So, first and foremost, it's the only one available in Fayette.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Fayette.
Sure.
I want to bring this business to Fayette. Mm-hmm. So that made the choice pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Number two, indoor cultivation, so under a darkened roof, although it has a higher carbon footprint in terms of energy consumption, that's the way that you can get the most consistent product. That's the most consistent flower. So if you take the exact same plant, cultivated variety, some people call them strains, it's not quite right, but the exact same plant, you grow it under three or four different conditions,
it'll react differently.
Then you'll get three or four different, you know, combinations of cannabinoids, right? So when it's indoors, under artificial lights, completely controlled environment, humidity, temperature, the whole shebang, then you can do it the same way every single time. And then when a patient walks in the door, they get the exact same product every single time.
Okay.
Now, we can do that same sort of thing in some of the newest greenhouses. But they're very cost prohibitive to start with, right? It's nothing like an existing building that's already here. So it'll take a lot longer to get there. you know, and even then there are going to be slight variations because of the intensity of the sunlight during the summer versus the winter, mm-hmm. right? So overall, I think, especially to start off with, indoor cultivation is just the best way to go. And this building's set up for it well. There's nothing inside that needs to be demolished necessarily. Right. So move in, build it out, and off we go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sounds like the city council is leaning strongly towards working with you. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at a purchase or rent to start out with?
So probably going to be a purchase.
Okay.
Right? It just makes more sense. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put a lot of money into that building.
Yeah.
So, but
would
yes,
be nice
we're
to own it.
Yeah. Might as well own all the improvements right. as well.
It's
going
to
be
right
better
now.
If I pay the property taxes too,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that.
I've been in the building. It's just a shell.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of things do you need to do to it?
Everything. So, think of it as a building inside of a building. So the clinic that's right out here,
right.
They've got the exam rooms and all these sorts of things, classic clinical setup. Well, I'm going to build that inside of the J.T. Colton building, right? So the entire inside is going to be positive pressure clean room systems. Each room is going to have its own segregated atmosphere and humidity and temperature controls, the whole shebang, smooth, slick walls and floors so that we can clean it. To make sure that we get rid of bacteria, mold, and everything, you know. So we're talking surgery rooms.
Yeah.
The whole building is going to be like a big, long series of surgery rooms. Now, not every room needs to be that way. The front office, dispensary, not quite as much. Packaging areas, that it's not as big a deal. But generally speaking, we want to make sure that when the flowers, the products that come out of this building into the patient's hands, well, they've never touched a human hand, they don't have any hair on them, they don't have any dirt on them, no mold, no bacteria, nothing is on this stuff. It's pure, pure cannabis. That's what we're shooting for.
And in fact, those who will be entering the building have to be clean when they come in.
We'll take a shower when we get to work, put it that way.
Mm-hmm. In a separate area.
Mm-hmm. Scrubbing in.
Just like surgery, just like an operating room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of work to do out there then.
Yes, that's true.
Now, that will be a place where people actually come to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you envision the product being? A bag of flowers, or will you be rolling joints, or how
could,
will you be?
Could be any of those things. Statistics are going to tell you that in a new market like this, the first 6 to 12 months are going to be about 90% flower sales. Okay, so that's going to be the big one right out of the gate. Quickly, though.
And that'll be something dried in a bag?
Yeah. Think of it as just like, some rosemary from mm-hmm. the herb store.
Right.
You know, you get the raw, dried rosemary.
Right.
It's similar to that. Looks a little different, but, you know, dried herb.
How is that used by an individual, then?
Generally, that's going to be used for either smoking or vaporizing.
Okay.
I do strongly recommend vaporizing over smoking because of the soot and all the other carcinogens that are caused by combustion. Vaporizing is different. You never actually set it on fire, so you don't get that carbon conversion reaction going on. You just get it hot enough to release the cannabinoids, which volatilize quicker than the rest of the organic material. It's kind of like...
So you're inhaling water vapor and the medication.
Okay. Kind of like, if you will, distilling whiskey. Some people might be familiar, but the idea there is to get the solution warmed up to 180 degrees, and the alcohol comes off long before the water starts to evaporate. So that's how you separate the alcohol from the water to distill it. So similar to that. Now, quickly, though, there'll be some manufactured product folks who start to enter the scene. They're going to take those same flowers, and they're going to cook those and otherwise render them into other products. You know, your gum, sublingual drops, tinctures, transdermal gummies. Patches, gummies, cookies, brownies, all those
so
sorts
edible,
of things.
Mm-hmm. So medication that can be taken under the tongue, you can eat it, or you can put it on your skin.
If you can think about a way to take a medicine, it's being done with cannabis right now, no matter...
Yeah, it is absorbed into the body in several different fashions, through mucosa, such as under the
pills,
tongue, or if you eat them under, you know, as you eat them, or even for patients who can't literally swallow, say they've had... a major tumor in their neck and they cannot swallow, it can be taken through the skin or even in the rectum, like many other medications. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is truly a medication, so it can be formulated into those different ways to deliver it.
Being a farmer, I have the questions of, what will your grow medium be?
Mm-hmm. In our case, it's going to be all living soil.
Okay.
Right? So a lot of folks are going to go hydroponic. We're not. I'm actually not going to farm the cannabis. I'm going to farm the soil with good, healthy soil. I'm going to let the cannabis do what it's got to do because all the nutrients and the bacteria and everything that, you know, makes life go round is going to be there and present for
so
it.
So you won't be cooking a soil. You'll just bring in dirt and grow it.
It'll be a controlled situation.
Yeah, it'll be...
It won't just be dirt off the ground.
You might think of it... almost as a manufactured soil, right? Okay. I mean, we'll use peat as a base, and we'll use other additives to make sure it's airy, that sort of thing. But, you know, the most significant components are going to be the real compost that we're going to add to it, the real living bacteria and all the composted matter. I mean, composted
manures. And by bacteria,
manures.
He means the natural good flora that's found in soil that helps our crops grow, helps our gardens grow. We're not talking about bacteria that infects people.
Now, compost actually heats up to... and kills weed seeds, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But then you have the beneficial bacteria that stay there.
Yep.
And the controlled environment around it.
Yep, gotcha. And we'll use the compost just after it's went through that heating phase because, you know, once it starts to break down, it cools back off.
Right.
And really starts to turn into humus, and that's when we're going to want to add it to our soils.
Watering system, drip?
Water only, drip, gravity fed.
Okay. And city water or out of the lagoon or?
Reverse osmosis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So basically it's pure H2O.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Removed of all chemicals.
Yep. Chlorine's not good for the little beneficial bacteria
and
some microbes.
And some of the other things you find in natural water sources.
Nitrites.
Natural water sources, estrogenizing type compounds, fertilizers, things like that.
Yep.
None of that will be in there.
I tend to watch the 9 o'clock weather on TV, usually fall asleep before it happens. But then there's usually waiting for that, I get to hear what's going on in Boone County. And initially it was, the dispensaries have to be so far from a school and there's no place in Columbia where that's gonna work. So we're gonna have to change our, our situation here, because if we do it out in the county, half our patients don't even drive cars. And so there was all this turmoil. It kind of sounds like you're further along in your thinking than anybody in Boone County.
And that's another reason why Fayette was a good choice. Smaller municipality, it's going to be more nimble. I don't care who's listening, Boone County is a dumpster fire. In terms of, you know, zoning and regulation and everything that goes with it.
Sure.
Well, and I was listening to all of that going on as well after that city council meeting. All I could think of is this is a legal medical product. We don't require that pharmacies who dispense Percocet or oxycodone be 500 feet from a school.
Right.
Why would we require this to be 500 feet from a school? You have to have a medical certification to obtain this product. It is medication.
Yeah.
So I will agree with Eric in his previous statement.
Well, hats off to you for picking Howard Canny.
Seemed like the obvious choice.
Personally, I think this is, if we can get this, if he can get this off the ground, I keep saying we just because I know Eric, but if he can get this off the ground, this would be, I think, potentially an excellent economic boon for Fayette and Howard County as a whole.
Yeah, I think so.
So. I mean, this could be.
So when you get set up out there, what do you envision for the number of plants to start with? How many little girls are you going
to
put?
Oh, boy. I'm going to have you sign an NDA. So a lot of that depends still.
Yeah.
I can't really say a number. It's going to be in the thousands.
Where do you get seed now?
Don't ask, don't tell.
Okay.
Right? So that's one of the few things not covered, purposefully not covered in the laws, the current regulations.
Yeah.
Because it's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah. But don't ask where you got it from.
You can't get it here because it has been illegal.
Right.
You can't get it from anywhere else because the federal government says you can't bring it across state lines. So the only elegant solution for the state is not to ask.
Yeah.
So in the tracking system, as of January 1st, 2021, there will be a field in there that's the origin for whatever seed or cutting or genetics that you have, and you'll have to fill that out. But until January 1st, 2021, that field will be optional.
Sounds like the old better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Yep. I like to think of it as immaculate conception.
Right. There you go. Yeah. Do you have, it sounds like you are the master gardener here.
Mastermind, maybe.
Okay.
But
have you started even thinking about personnel to help?
To some extent. I mean, we have a team that's forming.
You feel like there's people out there.
There is. There's folks with interest. And there's a lot of translatable skills out there, you know? I mean, so just because a person doesn't have the experience actually growing cannabis, hothouse tomatoes.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's really similar in terms of the entire horticulture process, right? Yeah. Or, you know, pretty much any kind of food crop that you're growing or a crop that you're growing for food can translate in some ways to what we're doing. I mean, agronomy is agronomy, right?
Well, and of course, you have the medical side of things too, and there's lots of medical experts out there who have the wherewithal, the knowledge, and the ability to help patients once the product is cultivated.
Yep. And that's the good part. The cultivation piece is a very well-known art and science. Mm-hmm.
I read about Bruce Linton, who's the largest cannabis producer right now, I think, in the world, and he's up in Canada. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like his first couple of years were just chaos, so get ready.
Yeah, that's a fact.
But he made it through to the other side.
I'm not
are learning from that process.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not going into it alone.
Right.
At least at the outset, I'm going to hire in some experience. I think it's only going to make sense. If nothing else, it's good for the patient because they don't need me monkeying around trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
They need somebody with experience to come in, get it done right for them.
Yeah. At this point, with so little research allowed, and you know, you have anecdotal situations where you've seen good stuff coming from it, but you probably are not able to say anything to someone that purchases your stuff other than here it is. You can't make any promises, can you?
No, by law should not make promises. However, what also by law we're supposed to know is the potential therapeutic uses of particular cultivars, cultivated varieties.
So in other words, can you say that to patients?
We can tell them that, and it's important the words you use. This won't cure this symptom of yours. This may help ease the symptom of yours. You know, those sorts of things. And that's a training point for the staff, is to make sure they're not.
Yeah.
You don't want to make a promise. You know, a doctor would never say, oh, well, this medicine's going to take care of that. Don't worry about it. Well, maybe they do, but they shouldn't. Right. So, okay, well, let's try this. It might help, is generally where you start.
As a physician, you have to know which medications you're using and how you're prescribing them to your patients. You have to be able to tell them the risks, the benefits, and the alternatives. And little
words like may become so important.
Yeah, there are no absolutes. Like I said, at least from my point of view, I treat patients who have diseases. I don't treat diseases. And every patient's different. Yep. So you can't make those kind of absolutes.
And it's not too different here. I mean, you know, just how you have paradoxical responses to, you know, Benadryl knocks most people out. Some people just get all wired when they're on it. Well, you know,
and that can happen with any medication, including cannabis.
So Liability insurance, something you even can or will look at?
Oh,
or?
Yeah, we're going to have, I'm going to have insurance you haven't even thought of yet.
So. Okay.
I mean, who else is going to carry insurance on their marijuana?
Yeah.
I will.
Okay.
Banking may be an issue. I may carry insurance on my cash. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these things are a little bit unknown, but
yeah,
there will be a lot of insurance.
Well, I've heard about the mess Colorado has, which is pretty big now in sales, and just they can't do any banking. So will employees be paid in cash and everything in cash?
In theory, yeah. Yeah, okay. If we follow that same mantra, it'll be all cash substantiated.
Yeah.
So, and that costs me as a businessman a lot, because now I've got to have an extra person sign off on every transaction.
Yeah.
I don't want money coming in or out of the safe unless there's two people standing there,
yeah.
Right? So, but good news, right? Let's not talk about that too much, because I think good news is right on the horizon, right? 96% of people say,
yeah,
come on, guys. Yeah. And now we're seeing on the floor in the House, and soon to be the Senate, the Safe Banking Act.
This is on a federal level?
This is a federal bill. And what it's going to do is take away the ambiguity around this, mm-hmm, and specifically say, yeah, banks, you are good to go. Department of Treasury can't take any action against you. These other regulating bodies can't take any action against you. They can't spend one dime of their budget prosecuting you or auditing you because you serve legitimate medical cannabis businesses. Yeah.
Probably only one other thing I would ask you about is just, what do you need from Fayette and Howard County yet? Anything?
I don't know. I'm getting it. You know,
okay,
everyone's been real cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that I'll be doing here, hitting hard in the next 4 weeks or so, and 45 days, I'll be turning in an application.
Okay.
Like, there's no slowing that down or stopping it.
And that's when the state opens up for applications.
Okay. So in the meantime,
so everybody else will be too.
I'm going to go about getting all of the letters of recommendation I can get. Mm-hmm. I need people who will vouch for my character and integrity. You know, my honesty, because you can't have a ne'er-do-well, you know, running a
right
business like this, and that of all the other owners that are involved, and any officers or managing staff that's involved. We'll all have letters of recommendation for our characters. Letters of support I'll be asking for from the local school district, you know, them saying, yeah, this will be a good thing, bring revenues to us. From the city, you know, officially, yeah, this is a good thing. I mean, it seems obvious if they're going to sell me the building, but let's go ahead and say it directly. And so same with the commission, county commission. If I get that far, I'll probably start extending it over into Franklin and Glasgow and maybe Harrisburg.
Get on it quick. These little letters.
Takes a while.
Well, type them up yourself. And, you know, and then at the bottom, you leave the little spot where they sign it. And then it'll happen fast.
Good advice.
But otherwise, it won't.
You're right.
It won't happen.
You're right. If I could just get a copy of everybody's letterhead, we'd be good.
There you go. But usually they have a clerk or somebody that can take care of the letterhead situation, but you better have things written up totally for everybody.
No, that's exactly
you're on top of that.
I've got templates, I've got examples,
right,
I've got everything they might need.
If anybody in the community would want to write you that kind of letter, how would they get one to you?
I would say the easiest way would be to look me up on Eric McSwain on www.visitlitnaturals.com. So V-I-S-I-T-L-I-T naturals.com.
Okay.
It also has a whole host of articles that I've written up there. In fact, I think most of the questions that you've asked tonight could be answered by those articles.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them. You've got some good questions. And I might go write articles towards those questions at this point. But anyway, then there's a contact me section there. My email is eric.mcswain@gmail.com. Right on the back of your brochure as well. So.
Okay. Where does the application actually go next? Division of Health and Senior.
I'll be writing two separate applications, one for the dispensary, one for the cultivation op.
Right.
They're treated separately. Once I'm done with that, I actually have to take a copy of each and redact them to make sure nobody knows what my actual name is, nor anyone else's. So that's going to be about 2,000 pages worth of application right there between those four things. Those four things go in electronic format to the Department of Health and Senior Services section for medical marijuana regulation.
Mm-hmm. That's where it goes.
And then at that point, according to what they've said, they're going to send it off to a third-party blind scoring, right? So nobody involved, nobody with any discretion at the department's going to be involved. They send it off, have them scored, get it back, start at the top, hand out the licenses.
Did I hear maybe 100 licenses will be granted?
60 cultivation, 84 manufactured products, and 192 dispensaries. That's more than one per county. Mm-hmm. At present, there's 160 cultivation applications.
Okay.
There's a lot more applications than there are licenses, so there will be losers in this.
Mm-hmm. Are those numbers going to be growing over time?
I expect that in the next 45 days, particularly as we get closer to the August 5th date, those numbers are going to balloon a bit. They'll probably double.
Do you think the state of Missouri will increase the number of licenses they issue over time?
According to the Mizzou study, probably not. Mizzou put out a study and grossly underestimated the amount of patients that we'll have in the state. It's a flawed study. I've got an article that refutes it for various reasons. You know, they're talking about, you know, less than 0.5% of the population will have medical cards. I'm thinking, and a lot of the other industry is thinking, that it'll be closer to 3%.
I'll say, and based on my clinical experience, I would say
humongous.
Based on my clinical experience, I would say 3 to 5%, but I treat conditions that tend to have a lot of neuropathies and things like that.
So as of right now, though, that's the floor, the number of licenses.
Have they given any indication when the decisions will be made on who will be licensed for these different things?
It has to be made, according to the Constitution, by December 31st of this year.
Okay. Yeah.
So Howard County will know by the first of the year.
And if it's a goal for you, then I expect you don't even sleep thinking about the next steps and the timeline.
Well, you know, the real hard part's going to be between August, when I submit the application, and then until December 31st till I get approved. So in that meantime, I'm sure I'll have to keep my restless fingers busy by writing down some napkin plans to get all that done. But it'll be hard pressed, because it'll be a race to who can open their doors first.
Well, what's nice is that in 6 months you'll know.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
There is that. And then it'll be after Christmas, so I'll have a good Christmas either way.
Yeah. Well, I so appreciate, and I think a large number of the county is really excited for you and looking forward to seeing you being successful at this.
Great. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for letting me take this time to throw a lot at you.
Yeah.
You threw a lot at me. I really learned a lot.
Good. Well, that's why you record it, right?
Right.
You can go back and listen to it again.
Yep.
And if you have any follow-up questions or you want to do a follow-up piece on it as we, you know, progress a little further, feel free to reach out.
This will probably run Sunday night, but you can't hear it. It only goes out about three miles.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. But you
come to our house,
publish it on the web, though, right?
Yeah, you just go to KPIP, their webpage.
Okay.
And their program, and it says Sam Stroop, Let's Get to Talking. And there's, I think, probably about 30 interviews now that I've got up there.
So, is that able to be downloaded and shared, like, on social media?
Sure, you bet. Yep. A lot of this stuff gets picked up by KOPN.
Excellent.
In Columbia.
Okay.
Red Hartman's a good friend of mine. When he can't find anything else, he digs into Sammy's files.
Oh, boy.
This is a big topic. I think it would be beneficial for
this may
the county to know that you've called them a dumpster fire.
Yeah, flaming dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Of human feces. No, cut that out.
It was under a...
no, maybe not. Leave it in this one.
It was under an hour, so it'll probably be in one program.
Okay.
Excellent.
Sometimes people get really wound up.
Well,
y'all got
me
pretty wound up.
I could go all night.
Yeah.